Once again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, to sing praises unto Him and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. Just want to say that we thank you all for your prayers and our time of grieving. Some of you know that I lost my big brother a week ago, and the sad part about it is that he was not in the church. That's the sad part. But I do know this, that he's in the hand of a just God. I can say that much. You know, the book of Jeremiah teaches us this morning, the book of Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, for it's not in man that walketh that can direct his steps. So this morning, we have a wonderful privilege this morning to look at God's word. God's word teaches us and guides us because we all need guidance. And God has given it to us in his word. You know, it seems like it's been a long time since we've been back to this congregation. Sandra and I, we've been traveling up and down the highways and byways. But it's good to be back home. Worshiping with you this morning. There's no other place that I would rather be this morning on the Lord's day is to be with God's people and worshiping God together. So we thank God for you all this morning. We have a wonderful lesson this morning coming from the Word of God. And what I would like to do is talk about the things that motivated the Apostle Paul. And hopefully through this lesson this morning that you and I, that we will find something in God's word this morning that would just cause us just to think as we journey through this life. Just want to read a passage of scripture coming from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it's verse 9 that I'd like to read for the scripture reading. The Apostle Paul said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And that is the scripture I'd like to use for these scripture reading this morning. But before that, we go into this lesson, we have a wonderful opportunity this morning to pray to God. And not only just to pray to him, but have the assurance that when we pray, that God hears our prayers. And we know that this is made possible through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So at this time, let us humble ourselves while the one has been appointed this morning to lead us in a word of prayer. You know, motivation is a powerful tool. It's when we use it properly, whether it be in the secular world or sacred, motivation is a force and a very powerful tool. You know, there was a story of a man that was walking through the woods one day, and he heard some footsteps behind him. And when he heard those footsteps, he began to go from a walk to a fast pace. And he noticed that the footstep sped up also. And he looked back, and there was this big bear behind him. And so he started to run, and this bear pulled off behind him. And in his mind, he knew that there is no way that any human being that was able to outrun a bear. And his only hope to escaping this bear was this great big tree ahead of him. But the trunk of that tree was too big for him to wrap his arms around. And there was a limb that was hanging from this tree that was about 20 to 25 feet in the air. And so as he began to run to get away from this bear, He sprang to catch the branch of that tree and missed it. But he caught it on the way back down. Motivation is a powerful tool. And we want to talk about this morning the Apostle Paul, which was a highly motivated Christian, this man of God. And we want to look at some of the things that really motivated the Apostle Paul. And we find this morning that in these passages of Scripture, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 9. And this is the first thing that we see that motivated the Apostle Paul. He says that wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. That motivated the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wanted to be accepted by God. And the Apostle Paul knew that nothing pleases God more than winning souls for his son, Jesus Christ. And Paul was motivated. He wanted to be accepted. Now this morning, don't we all want God to smile on us? Don't we want God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Well, and then if we haven't done good, God's not going to say that. You see, the Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul said he labored that he might be accepted of him. Notice in these passages of Scripture, Paul says that, wherefore we labor, and he said, this is why I labor. And we want to know what motivated the Apostle Paul. We want to know what compelled him and what drove him was the fact that he wanted to be accepted of God. That motivated Paul. And he knew that. You see, in the book of St. John, chapter 15 and verse 8, the Bible said, therein, well, let us go there. Let's take a look at this. St. John, chapter 15 and verse 8. We're going to look at that passage of Scripture there. 15 and verse 8. John said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. He says, so shall ye be my disciples. We want to know what glorifies God. We want to know what pleases God, brothers and sisters and friends. We have to be about introducing people to Christ. Soul winners. Soul winners for Christ. And this is what motivated the Apostle Paul, is that he wanted to be accepted by Christ. You see, it doesn't matter how long that we have been members of the Church of Christ. Doesn't matter how talented we may be or what position that we might hold within the church. It doesn't matter if our grandfather laid the cornerstone for the church building. That doesn't matter. If we're not introducing people to Christ, then we're not doing what God has commanded us to do. And the Apostle Paul knew that he wanted to be accepted. I want us to notice something that Paul said also. In verse 10 of these same passages of Scriptures, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. Paul knew that there's a day of reckoning that's coming. And it's coming for all of us. That we're going to have to stand before God one day and give an account of everything that we have done. Whether it be good, the Bible says, or bad, we're going to have to stand before God. And the Apostle Paul knew this, and this is what motivated the Apostle Paul. The Bible tells us this morning that in these passages of Scripture that in spite of contrary beliefs, that Christ is coming back. He's coming back again. Why is he coming back? He's coming back to give us our reward and to judge us the things that we have done, whether they be good or bad. He's coming back. Notice something else that the Bible teach in verse 11. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your conscience. The Apostle Paul teaches us this morning that one day that all of our work will face the fire. All of our works. Is one day will be tested. And he said, knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men. Now, Paul is not talking about, you know, well, we meet people and say, well, do you want to go to heaven? Or I told you so. He's not talking about that kind of persuasion. What the Apostle Paul is talking about is that he sharpened his delivery. He used every being in his body. He gave a glorious presentation that men might be able to accept Christ. He sharpened his tools in his presentation. You know, sometimes when we share to our loved ones about Christ and our friends and the people we meet, and we talk to people and we say, yeah, well, you know, we talked to them about Christ and they said no. And we said, well, oh, you know, they didn't want it. We give less than a glorious presentation in working with people. The Apostle Paul says that he persuade men knowing the terror of God. You know, I think that we lose sight of that sometimes. You see, the Apostle Paul believed that, as a brother prayed in his prayer this morning, the Apostle Paul believed that if a person wasn't in Christ and that person died, that person was going to hell. And I think we lose sight of that sometimes as we meet and we talk to people. When they are not in Christ, when they die, where they are going. And that's why, brothers and sisters, that we need to be about, as the subject this morning, we need a motivation. We need that bear behind us to get us motivated. Because, you see, it's not the lack of knowledge that we have that we don't know what our mission is. It's the motivation. We need to be motivated and sharing with people the good news. That's what we need to be about as children of God. The Bible tells us this morning that we face a God that one day that we're going to have to give an account. And Apostle Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, right now while people are living, they can get mercy. And we can be an instrument of the mercy that they receive. by sharing Christ with them. We can be that instrument to them. But when this human history is over, and there will be time no more, those that are on the outside of Christ will know the terror of a living God. They will know that. You hear some people say, well, you know, hell is here on earth. I'm quite sure we heard people say that. You know, hell is right here on earth. But when we die, we're going to know right then that there's a life after this life. And there's a hell. And that's where we need to persuade men, our loved ones, and people that we come in contact with. I heard a story that was told by this person that was in the church of Christ. He told a story. He said, one night, he said, my sister was having a nightmare. And she woke up in hysteria. And I went in her room and I asked her, and I shook her and asked her what was wrong. And she said, Dave, she said, I dreamed that I was on my way to hell. And something told me to come back as I was on my way to hell. And she said, then I turned around and I came back. And as I was coming back, she said, I looked back. And I saw Daddy in hell as I was coming back. And his brother says that at that moment, he said he became a soul winner. Because he wanted to reach out and to share with people to make sure that didn't anyone, daddy or mother or sister or brother or cousin or relative or friend, go to hell. He became a soul winner for Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul was. The Apostle Paul was a great missionary. He was a great soul winner for Jesus Christ. And he tells us this morning, he says that, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he said, we persuade men. He said, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I want to look at another situation here that the Apostle Paul teaches us. In the passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul teaches us in the same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. We want to look at, this is what motivated Paul in verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. He said, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now that word constrained is kind of tricky sometimes because we look at it sometimes. It's not, you know, restrained. It's constrained. And it's used in this sense of the Scripture, in the passage of Scripture, as a force. It's used as compelled to drive in the context of these Scriptures. The Apostle Paul. Paul, what motivated you? What compelled you to do what you do? You know, the Apostle Paul, those that knew the Apostle Paul, some thought that the Apostle Paul was crazy sometime because he went into dangerous places and subjected himself for the sake of Christ. And they would ask him, Paul, why do you subject yourselves to danger? Why do you do what you do, Paul? What drives you? What motivates you? The Apostle Paul tells us this morning, he says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, he said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. He said, this is why I do it, because of the love of Christ. He's not saying that this because I love Christ. He said, because he loves me. That's what motivates me to win souls for Christ. because of his love for me. See, God has shown much grace toward the Apostle Paul. God changed Saul's name to Paul. He changed my name from just James to Brother Nelson. And he changed your name. If God can save me, he can save anybody. If he saved the Apostle Paul, he can save anybody. And sometimes, you know, like we get wrapped up in our thinking sometimes when we look at that, because, you know, like we have a cousin. Sandra and I, we talk about her all the time. She is wrapped up in this world. She plays the organ for her church. She does all these different activities. And when she dresses, we can see that, you know, she's just all about this world. And we say, you know what? We wonder, can we get through to her? Because she's so wrapped up in this world. There's no one that's so wrapped up in this world that the Word of God cannot penetrate. Nobody. And we need to picture that in our minds. Apostle Paul says, if he saved me, he can save anybody. And that's what we should be about, brothers and sisters. Is soul winner for Christ. Soul winner for Christ. The Apostle Paul says, for his love, for the love of Christ constrained us, because we judge that if one died for all, then we all dead. You know, some of you don't know our oldest son that passed away about 8 years ago, but Brother Mike Murphy met my son and Sister Sally. You know, one of the things that my son used to say to us, he used to say, Mom and Dad, he said, God is good to me. And we used to say, Kevin, God is good to everybody. He said, but you don't understand. He is good to me. And do you know we couldn't get him out of that? But God is good to him. And so now as we live, we began to understand that he took it personal. God's love for him. And Brother Vita Robinson is the one that found him when he passed away. And he called and told us. He said along his side, he was lying in his bed with his Bible beside him. And he had some religious tracts in his pocket that he was out sharing with people. He loved Christ. He said, God is good to me. And we could see the things that God would bless through him. Because he took it personal, just like the Apostle Paul says that his love for me, that's what drives me. That's what motivates me, because of his love for me. Not because of my love for him, but his love for me. What compels me, what drives me, what motivates me is the love of Christ. I want us to look at another motivation of the Apostle Paul. And we'll come to the conclusion of the lesson this morning. But I wanted to look at verse 20. This is what motivated the Apostle Paul also. Not only was it his love, but his assignment. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, notice what Paul said. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us. So we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. It was the Apostle Paul's assignment. that motivated him. He said that he was an ambassador for Christ. I'm quite sure we all know what an ambassador is, right? An ambassador is a person that's in Russia that shares the interests of the commander-in-chief here in the United States. That's what an ambassador is. He represents the thoughts and the policies of the president of the United States in Russia. That's what an ambassador is. The Apostle Paul said, that's what we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. We right here on earth represent Christ in heaven. We all are ambassadors. And therefore that we need to be sharing. We need to be sharing the good news with those that are on the outside, realizing that one day that you and I were on the outside and someone shared the gospel with us. We were lost and headed for a devil's hell, and someone shared the good news with us. Brothers and sisters, if we ever get back to heaven, when we get there, don't say that we came to get what we deserve. Don't say that. Because if we got what we deserve, then we all will be in hell. Don't say that. You see, the Bible tells us, notice what the Bible tells us in the book of James. And we're going to take a look at this passage of scripture here. Come with me to the book of James, chapter 2. And notice what James says. The book of James, chapter 2. And verse 17. James says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. In the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 17. In verse 18, James said, yea, a man may say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thy faith by my works. That's what James says. Faith without works says dead. It's a dead faith. You want to say, James said, you want to show me your faith? Then show me your works. Because I'll show you my works. Brothers and sisters, it's all about introducing people to Christ that God may be glorified. Got a little saying here. I will not work my soul to save. That work my Lord has done. But I will work as any slave for the love of God, dear son. See, brothers and sisters and friends, I am already saved. That's why I work. I'm already saved. You see, that's why that I take the communion. Because I am already a child of God. I don't take the communion to be saved. I take the communion because I am saved. I don't give any offering to be saved. I give in the offering because I am saved. I don't come to church to be saved. I come to church because I am saved. You see, we got to understand something. We need to understand this. that we are not saved according to our works or by our works. According to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll take a look at that and we'll come to the conclusion of the lesson. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll see these passages of scripture. We're not saved by our works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God." It says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see, we could work all day long from sun up to sundown, and we could never work enough to earn our salvation. God has given that to us. It's a gift. But we work because we are saved. We work because the love of God loved us enough while we were still in sin. Jesus Christ died for us. Isn't that beautiful? While we were his enemy, he died for us. And you know why I'm standing here today? Because you're sitting here today. Because Christ stood in for us on yesterday. His love for us. Brothers and sisters, we need to make the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is that's introducing people to Christ. That's the main thing. Introducing people to Christ. And hopefully something was said from this lesson this morning and the motivation of a soul winner. It would just cause us just to think as we journey through this life. But you know, in order for us to be accepted, we first have to be saved. Those Christians on the day of Pentecost, they had to get saved. And the Bible says that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, praising God and giving thanks, that God added to the church daily such as should be saved. They had to get saved first. You see, we have to be saved first. And the Bible tells us that God has a plan. And that is, first, we are to hear his word. The Bible tells us that in the book of Mark chapter 12 and verse 29 and 30. It says, the first of all the commandments is to hear. Isn't that something? First of all, the commandments of God is that we have to hear. We have to hear. Say, "Hear, O Israel, that our Lord God is just one. And we're to love him with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our strength, and all of our souls." So that is the first of all the commandments, is to hear. So we have to hear the good news. We have to hear about Christ's love for us. We got to hear that first before you're saved. And after hearing it, we must believe it. Because how are you going to believe something you haven't heard? You got to hear it first in order for you to believe it. And the Bible tells us in the book of St. John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus says, "I tell you nay, except ye believe that I am he," he said, "you will die in your sins." Except you believe that Jesus is the Christ, men will die in their sins. And he tells us in verse 21 of that same passage of scriptures, he said, and if you die in your sins where I am, ye cannot come. So we have to hear and we have to believe God's word. The second step is after hearing and believing that we must repent. We come to realize that we are in the wrong church. We've been traveling down the wrong road. We have to turn around. And we have to repent of those things. Luke 13 and 3 say, I'll tell you nay. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, isn't that something, as a brother prayed in his prayer this morning, that it's not but one way that we're going to get to heaven, and that is to be in Christ. That's the only way. St. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we got to go through Jesus Christ in order to get to God. We're not going to get to God if we're not going to accept Jesus Christ. He says, because I am the way. And Luke tells us that except we repent, we will burn. And brothers and sisters, if a person goes to hell, that's a one-way ticket. You're not coming back out of that. You remember the story of the rich man in Luke chapter 16? He lifted his eyes up in hell. He asked Father Abraham to send Lazarus because he just wanted to get a tip of water because he was in torment. He was thirsty. He's not asking for a whole lot of water. Just a little tip of water. But you want to know something this morning? There's no water in hell. There's no water there. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about, knowing the terror of God, because there was a counting. There's a day coming that, you see, men is going to have to face God. They're going to have to face him, and they're going to face the undiluted terror of God. That's a day, brothers and sisters, of not mercy. We can get mercy now. But that's going to be a day of terror. James tells us that. After repentance comes the good confession. We must make the good confession. In the book of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says, if thou would confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. So with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's the good confession. We have to confess Christ if we want to be saved. Not our sins, but confess Christ, because God already knows that we're sinners before we are saved. The good confession is confessing Christ. A person asked me this one time. He said, well, what if I heard the word of God and I believed and I repented and confessed, then can I just receive God in my heart and be saved? The answer to that is no. You can be converted, but you're not saved if you just hear, believe, repent, and confess. You're not saved. You have to be baptized. You have to be buried in the watery grave of baptism. This is where we have our sins washed away. Is in the watery grave of baptism. And it's not before that we are baptized that we are sinned. There's no way that you can receive God into your heart and be saved. You have to be baptized. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, it says, for as many as has put on Christ, as many as been baptized into Christ, have put on him. That's where we put him on, and is in the watery grave of baptism. That's when a person is saved. Then after we're saved and we stumble and we fall and make mistakes, we're to repent, make the confession, and ask for the prayers of the church that we have sinned a sin that have shamed the church of the body of Christ. We as Christians have that privilege by being in Christ. So this time this morning, if we're subject to the gospel in any manner, while we stand and sing the chosen song, we may make the good confession.